When Stephen woke up that morning, the sun was probably shining. He probably got up and had the same breakfast. He probably stood up and stretched and probably said good morning to his family. And he probably went around his usual ways and did the usual things that he did. But there was something different that day in Stephen's life that he had no idea about. Stephen had perhaps recently decided to follow Jesus. Now, we know Stephen was not from the Jerusalem area. We know Stephen was from outside the Jerusalem area. We know he was a Jew, but we don't exactly know where he was from. And we do know that it had probably been a recent conversion. He was not one of the original 12 disciples, and so it was not something that had happened for several years. It just probably a couple months, maybe 3 or 4 at the most. But when Stephen was changed by the Holy Spirit coming inside of him, and Stephen understood and realized what God's word and God's people were teaching him, he made a radical change with the strength of God living inside of him. And so I don't believe that when Stephen woke up that day that he knew that by the end of the day he would be dead, left outside of the city for the dogs to eat. I don't believe that when he ate his breakfast and greeted his family and his friends that he understood and realized where he would be physically. But I do know this, Stephen was ready. Stephen was completely surrendered to doing what God wanted him to do. Now, you've known me long enough to understand and realize that I'm not going to stand up here and blow sugar at you. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, hey, living a Christian life and living for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be lollipops and sugar and canes and cotton candy and all that kind of good stuff. Yes, there are benefits and there are blessings for living for Christ. Amen to that. There's so many things that God takes care of for us, things that we don't have any idea about that He takes care of for us. Things that He prevents from happening to us. But brothers and sisters, we have to realize and understand that our enemy is a real enemy. My enemy is not the Taliban. My enemy is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My enemy may be Auburn, but my enemy otherwise is there's nobody else that's my enemy. My enemy is real, and my enemy is Satan himself. And the only reason that he is my enemy is because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Before I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, Satan was not my enemy. He was my daddy. He was the one that was guiding and directing everything I said and everything I did. That's how I was born. I was born in sin. And so before I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I did as Satan wanted me to do. And so therefore, my enemy was God before I trusted Jesus. Now I've got an enemy, but this enemy I have is not as powerful as God himself. So as we start out this morning, I want you to ask yourself this very key question. Who is your enemy this morning? If you are friends with the world, then your enemy is God himself. But if God is your Savior, Satan is your enemy. And so the morning that Stephen woke up, his enemy was clearly Satan. And Satan had been doing everything he could to destroy the following of Jesus Christ, the way. They weren't called Christians yet at this time. They were called the people of the way. And the people of the Jerusalem council and all the priests and all the Pharisees, they'd been doing everything they could to thwart God's movement. They had arrested the apostles several times. They had been doing everything they could to get rid of this movement, but they couldn't do it. But now they're going to go to extremes. Now they're going to take matters into their own hands and going to get physical with it now. So when Stephen woke up that morning, he didn't understand what was about to take place. So I want to give you the end of the story, but the end of the story is just the beginning of the story. Acts chapter 7, verse number 60. And he, speaking of Stephen, and he kneeled down, and he cried with a loud voice. And this is what he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Don't blame them, God. They're just doing what they know. They're just doing what they understand. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, not the sleep. The dead is a doornail sleep. The sleep that comes when your brain and your heart stop functioning. When your body just becomes a body and your spirit leaves. Brothers and sisters, when our body stops functioning and our heart and our brain stop working and the organs shut down, we are dead physically. Then our spirit goes somewhere, either to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord, or to a place called hell, not created for us. One of the two places. It depends on who your master is. If your master is Jesus, it goes to heaven. If your master is Satan, of course it goes to a place called hell. A separation between God. So, where did Stephen go? We just see him dying, but where does he go? In order to find that, I actually got to go back to chapter 7, verse number 1. Chapter 7, verse number 1. Or actually, chapter 6, I'm sorry. Chapter 6, verse number 8. And Stephen, it says, full of faith and power. Faith in who? A complete trust. That word faith means a complete trust in God and what he said. Stephen didn't grow up understanding it. Stephen didn't grow up in that teaching. It had been something that he had recently come across. But he placed his complete faith in what God said. Let me ask you a question. Where is your faith this morning? Many of you have grown up in the church. Many of you have been coming to church and you know the things of God. Many of you have been coming to church since you were 9 months old. In other words, 9 months in your mother's womb. You've grown up in church, and you've known about it, and you've heard about it. But what is your faith in this morning? Is your faith in a prayer? Is your faith in some words that you might have said in Sunday school one day? Is your faith in because you came forward and the pastor touched your head and said, you're saved now? Is your faith in your Sunday school attendance? Is your faith in because your grandma and your grandpa went to church? Because your mom and daddy brought you, is that what your faith is in? Please understand this. That is not saving faith. That is working for your salvation. Saving faith is this. God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. And I realize and understand that without salvation, I'm going to hell. So therefore, God, ask you to forgive me of all my sins, and I ask you to be the master of my life. I am therefore turning myself to you, and I'm believing what your word clearly says, that Jesus died for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call upon the Lord, you're placing your faith in what he's done. Not in what you have done. That's what Stephen has done. Stephen has placed his faith in what God has done. Not in what Stephen has done. So when he was going through his day, not knowing that soon he was going to die, he was faithful in the God who had saved his soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For you are saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what Ephesians says. So Stephen, who was full of faith, and he was just simply doing what God called him to do, it says he was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was just serving God. He was just doing what God told him to do. Like he did every day. He went out about ministering. Verse number 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, the Jewish people, not the believers, but the Jews, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So Stephen was amongst the people doing what God had called him to do, ministering as best as he could, and had a group of people come against him. Now the Libertines, those are people who've been freed from their slavery. They're people who've been liberated from slavery. And you would think if anybody would want to be free, it'd be them, but no. They didn't like what Stephen was doing. They didn't like what Stephen was accomplishing. They didn't like what Stephen's testimony was. And so they rose up against him, and they start disputing with him. But look at verse number 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Where did that wisdom come from? From God. He was just simply obeying. He was just simply doing what God told him to do. Where did the Spirit come from? The Holy Spirit living inside of him. Now, you may not understand this, and I'm confessing to you this morning. There's often times that what I've prepared to give you in the mornings or the evenings or Wednesday nights, what I've prepared and what I've studied, oftentimes the Holy Spirit totally changes my mind and changes my words. The words that come out of me, people say, well, you said this in the message, Brother Brian. I said, I didn't say that. I had no clue what you're talking about. They'll say, hey, you made this statement. I'm thinking, no, I didn't. That wasn't me. That was God. And I love it when God speaks through me. But you know what? I'm not the only one that's capable of that. So are you. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, so are you. Now, one time, somebody misinterpreted what I said. When I was in Alabama, I had the privilege of coaching girls volleyball. How many of you know that was a burden? Amen? All right. Coaching had girls JV and varsity. And I was coaching these girls, and it had been a while since I coached. Back when I coached a long time ago, back in the late 90s, you could really just get on them. I mean, just really not, just kind of say, hey, listen, you're not doing good. So one time during a varsity game, during a timeout, I was so frustrated because they were just lethargic and not playing. So I got in that huddle with them. I said, you guys are playing like garbage. We broke the huddle, they went back, and they just played even worse. I called another timeout, and I said, what's the problem? And one little girl, that just tears come down her face, says, you called me garbage. I said, no, I didn't call you garbage. She said, yes, you did. And I said, you're playing like garbage. And she said, no, you called me garbage. See, that was man speak. Sometimes our word are misinterpreted. But I tell you this, if the word is from the Holy Spirit, there is no misinterpretation, is what God intends. And that's what Stephen was doing. He was just simply obeying God and sharing his spirit and saying, God, this is what you want me to do. So evidently, and always, anytime you're doing God's will, you're going to have opposition. It's going to happen. And these people rose up, and they started fighting against him. Verse number 10, it says that, but they weren't able to resist his wisdom and the spirit by which he was speaking. So this is what they did. Then they suborned men. In other words, they got people gathered together, and this is what they said. We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, and they caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. They said, he's out here telling these lies and telling all these things about Moses, and he's lying about this and lying about that. Let me help you understand something. When you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're speaking the truth from his word, there's going to be people who are going to lie about you. They're going to make up false things about you. And there's people who are going to believe them. So then what do you do?
Do you back off and do you just say, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Here, let me rephrase what I said so that I can make you happy. Brothers and sisters, there's too much caving going on in Christendom nowadays. There's too many people who are saying, well, I'm sorry that I offended you, and I'm sorry that you did not like what I said, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to just change what I said. I'm going to speak sweetly to you now. I'm not going to tell you that you're sinners in need of Savior. I'm not going to tell you that you've done wrong. I'm just going to pat your little head and say, that's okay. You can live like you want to live, and you can do all these things that you want to do. And then when you get to heaven, God's just going to smile and say, come on in. Is that the kind of pastor that you want? There's plenty of them. But I want to tell you what God's word says. In love. And that's what I'm interested in. I love you, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. I don't want a single one of you to end up in hell. I don't want a single one of these little ones that are here this morning. I don't want a single one of them to end up looking back saying, well, Brother Brian never told me the truth. No, I love you too much to do that. And so they get Stephen arrested, and they put him in front of the council. Verse number 14, it says, for ye have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him. And this is what they said. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. He just stood up for what was right. He didn't cow down. He did not say, you're right, guys. I stepped over the bounds. No, he just stood there with a smile on his face. And I'm sure they wanted to get down there and smack that smile right off his face. They couldn't stop him. Why? Because he was living and telling the truth. When you are full of the Spirit and you are doing what God clearly wants you to do, do not stop. Do not stop, regardless of what people threaten to do to you. The high priest asks him, are these things so? Opens it up. Now, I'm not going to read this whole chapter because I want you to read it. But what he basically does, starting in verse number 2, all the way to verse number 53, he gives them an Old Testament survey. He turns them all the way back and he says, listen, this is what you say you believe in. He goes back to the very beginning. He says, listen, Moses and Abraham, and he speaks about David, and he speaks about Solomon. He speaks about all these people. He says, listen, this is our common heritage. We're Jewish people. He gets them to understanding where they come from. He's putting them in a corner. He's saying, listen, if you claim this, then what I'm telling you shouldn't offend you. If you're claiming that you believe that the Messiah is coming, then what I'm telling you shouldn't bother you. And then he says this, verse number 53. It says, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Then when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so mad and so angry because he was telling them they were wrong. They were the authority. And how dare this man tell them they're wrong? But being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now he's getting ready to make a matter. He says, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So not only has he made them mad by telling them the truth, now he's looking up into heaven. Now when it says they gnashed on him with their teeth, There's two different interpretations. Either they screamed at him and so angry at him, or they literally started biting him. Either way, it was not a pleasant situation. Either way, they didn't come up to Stephen and say, "Well, Brother Stephen, you know what? We might disagree, but that's okay." No, they were mad. How many of you have ever been mad enough to bite somebody? Yeah. That's how enraged they were. Now, Gracie, I'm going to tell a tale on you, Gracie, this morning. We went out to eat with Josh and Shay a couple weeks back. And Josh and I were talking. And Gracie got so frustrated because she was talking to Dad and Dad wasn't saying to her because we were talking. And she got so frustrated, she went and lashed onto his arm. She bit him. And it got his attention. She was so frustrated. Now, don't look at Gracie and say, "Oh, bad Gracie. You've been that mad before. You felt like biting your spouse. Come on now." All right? That's how mad they were. They got a hold of her. But it says, he looked up into heaven. He says, "By the way, guys, I see Jesus, and I see him standing there, and I see the glory of God." Now, that made him madder because, number one, he's saying that Jesus is the Messiah and that Jesus is standing up there, and he's in heaven with God the Father, and they hate him even further. And when they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, they were screaming and holding their ears and they were enraged. And they cast him out of the city. They literally picked him up and they stoned him. They literally picked him bodily up. They threw him outside of the city. And when he landed there, they all gathered together. And they literally picked up rocks, some maybe as big as this speaker. And they literally dashed him with those stones. They were tired of hearing the truth, and they killed him. I remember as a boy growing up getting into a dirt clod fight. Who's ever been in a dirt clod fight before? Yeah. Well, this one dirt clod happened to have a rock in it. And when it hit me right there, I've got the mark still. It hit me right there in the cheek, and it just spurted blood. And I went walking into my mom, and I walked in and I said, "Mom," and she saw blood. And moms, you know what you did. Ah! I was hurting. That rock hurt. And it was just a rock, maybe not that big, but it hurt. I cannot imagine somebody picking up rocks about that big and throwing on me literally. How many of you agree that would not be a good day? Now, Stephen knew what the law said. He knew that if you were blasphemous, that you were going to be stoned. So when they picked him up and threw him outside the city, he knew what was coming. It doesn't say he fought against it. It doesn't say he tried to talk him out of it. He knew that he was about to die. And he knew that soon he would be in the presence of God, who was standing up there waiting for him right there. Now, I can stand here and say, "Oh, I'd do the same thing. I would piously fold my hands and say, 'Come on, bring it on.' I don't know if I'd do that or not. I'd be scared. How many of you would be scared too? Because it would hurt. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And this is what Stephen said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice. And he said, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? When Jesus on the cross, he says, "Don't put it to their account, God. Forgive them for my sake." And so Stephen dies, and he goes to heaven. Oh, good. Okay, so that's the message. No, that's not the message. Here's the message. Number one, Terry. We will all experience death or the rapture. Look at Hebrews with me real quick, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27. This is speaking of Jesus dying once. And the writer of Hebrews says, "And it is appointed unto men, mankind, once to die." You are going to physically die. These bodies that we are occupying are going to die. Or the rapture will take place. Either way, because we've been talking about that on Sunday nights. You're going to die. Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. That's what I came to church for this morning. I wanted to hear I was going to die. It could be today, could be tomorrow, it could be right now. I don't know. But we are going to die. We need to be real about this. When I was 21 years old, 50 was old. How many of you remember that? 50, oh man, I'll never be 50. I thought I was going to die when I was 30, honestly. 21 years old, I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. 50-year-olds, man, those people are way out of it, man. I'm never going to get that old. I'm 52. 50's not old. But guess what? I'm going to die one day. If the rapture doesn't happen before that, I hope the rapture does. But I have assured myself that if I die, my wife is going to be rich. I'm worth more dead than I am alive. Amen? But I'm going to die. And I can't, there's nothing I can do about that. I can exercise and I can watch my weight and I can do this and I can diet and all these things. Did you know that the guy who invented jogging and ate those grape nuts and all that kind of stuff, you know how he died? He was jogging. I'm not making fun of body exercise. I'm not making fun of those things. But when you're going to die, you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. But then look what it says. After this, the judgment. When you physically die, your soul goes one of two places. You're going to face judgment. That's what it says. So get used in your mind that you're going to die. Stephen knew he was going to die. But when he woke up this morning, he wasn't planning on it. But it happened. Look at number two, Terry, for me, please. How we live our lives can determine how we will die. Look at 2 Timothy with me, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. How you live your lives can determine how you're going to die. Paul is writing to Timothy. Now, if you'll notice the name Paul, it's the same man who is Saul. And if you notice that Stephen's death, who was standing there consenting unto his death? Saul was. The very same man who writes these words. And I'll help you understand that in just a minute. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're going to be traitors, they're going to be heady, they're going to be high-minded, they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. And he says, turn away from those people. Get away from those people. And then he says this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women, laden with sins. They're led away with diverse lusts. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. He says, listen, the last times when God's getting ready to do what he's going to do, you're going to see society look just like this. Now, I'm not standing here telling you that this is describing exactly what's taking place, but if you look at it, it's describing what's taking place nowadays. Okay, so I'm not up here a prophecy doomsayer, but that's why we need to be ready to die. We need to understand where our souls are going because it's getting bad. Verse number 10. But thou, Christian, those who are trusting God, full of the Spirit, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, your my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. You've known all about it. I've suffered persecutions, afflictions, which were in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, verse number 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You stand for Christ. You make your declaration that you're going to obey God. You're going to suffer these things. If you determine, that word godly means reverent, piously, standing for the truth. If you stand up for the truth in the classroom, at the job site, at the store, in the church, wherever you are, you stand for the truth of God's word, you're going to have enemies, you're going to have persecution, you're going to have those who call you a fool. It's going to happen, he says. He says, I've experienced it. I've been stoned. I've been beaten. I've had all these persecutions on me everywhere I went, he said. And you know about it, he says. But count this true. You will suffer persecution. I thank God I'm an American. I'm a Christian first and foremost. And I thank God I live in this free country. I thank God I live in North Carolina. I thank God I live here in Bryson City. It's a wonderful place. And persecution is not rampant here. I've not heard of anybody getting stoned because they were standing up for God. But there's places that people are dying right now for standing up for Christ. God is protecting us. I praise God for that. But there will come a time when that's not going to happen anymore. Let me be blunt with you this morning. What are you going to do when that happens? What are you going to do when they come to point the gun, deny Christ, or accept, or say he is? Are you a Christian? What are you going to do? See, I can't say what I'll do. I hope that I'll say, no, Christ is my Savior. I hope I'll do that. Because I'm trusting what God says. But it's scary. So because it's scary, does that mean I need to run away? So because I'm afraid of getting hurt, does that mean I need to deny Christ? If I'm out there in downtown Bryson City, and some guy says, listen, I heard you preach and you made me so mad. That's why if you read the bulletin, I said, please, I don't want to duck and cover when I leave out of here this morning. But if some guy confronts me out there in the street and said, listen, I didn't like what you were preached, I'm going to kill you if you don't deny what you said. Hopefully I'll say, no, I'm not denying it. Because it's going to come. It's going to cost us to live godly. It's going to cost your friendships. It's going to cost your family. It's going to cost you financially. It's going to. If it's not, then something's wrong. Then you're not living godly. If you can hang out with people who don't love God, and you could blend right in with them, and there's no effect whatsoever, you need to check something out. God, am I living godly? Number three. Do you want to die well? When Stephen woke up that morning, he had no idea he was going to die. And that's how I mean dying well. Standing on what he believed. and what he believed was the truth of God's word. Now, I'm not saying, as I've said before and I'll continue to say, I'm not saying that we need to walk through the stores and walk through our classrooms and teachers. I'm not saying go up to your kids and slap them upside the head with the Bible. It might knock some sense into some kids. But don't do that. Be clean. Okay, I'm on tape, okay? So if you get in trouble for doing it, they can go back and say, no, Brother Brian said, don't do that. Don't go to your boss and smack him with the Bible and say, that's what my pastor said to do. That's not what I'm saying. But I am telling you this, and be very clear and succinct in this. Live godly. Live godly in how you speak to your students. Live godly how you speak to your co-workers and your bosses. Live godly how you speak to your employees. Live godly how you speak to your spouse and your friends. Live godly. Well, what is godly, Brother Brian? Exactly what God tells us to do. That's godly. Not my standards. Please, don't live according to my standards. Live according to God's standards. Does that make sense? Because here's what Paul continued. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man, that's that same word, it is appointed unto man once to die, humans, that humankind, that to those who belong to God, that you may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gave us his word so that we can know how to live. He didn't give you pastors so that you could know how to live. He gave you God's word so that you could know how to live. Now, wait a minute, Brother Ryan. If you're doing what you're doing because I tell you to do it, if you're doing what you do because God's word says to do it, ding, 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 ding. Does that make sense? If I preach something that's not in here, I need to be gone. I want to always preach this to you. Do you want to die well? If you died today, would it be well? Can you say with the hymn writer, it is well with my soul? Well, Brother Brian, tell you what, you need to duck and cover when you leave this morning because I'm out for you. I'm being facetious, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. If God didn't want us to know about Stephen, he wouldn't have recorded it in his word. All who live godly will suffer persecution. Let's live godly. Let's live the life that God has called us to live. That's the best ministry that you can do. I forget who I was talking to this morning, or not this morning, this week sometime. If I was talking to you, please understand, I didn't forget you on purpose. It's just my mind, I'm getting old. And I was talking to them, and I said this, and they said this. Sometimes we're the only Bible people read. What version are you? And I'm not talking about King James or NIV. What version are you? The corrupted version or the godly version? And here's the greatest news of all. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He'll never leave you. And if this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, look, there's some issues of life that you got to deal with. You know what you got to do? All you got to do is say, God, I've messed up. I need your forgiveness. I want to walk with you. And sure enough, God will give you that power to do that. If you find yourself in a position of problems and you don't know what to do, oh, God, I need your help. Guess what he does? He gives you the help. You're not alone. Greater is he that is in us. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's what Stephen had. And guess what? That same Holy Spirit is residing in you and I when Jesus Christ is our Savior. God hadn't changed. Let's live godly. For his sake. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for being here this morning, hearing me rant and rave. But more importantly,